Oops, sorry. Hello, this is Marco. Sorry, the volume was turned off, so I think that I wasn't even broadcasting. Okay, I'm talking about DNA sequencing in space. I didn't check the volume until now, and I'm sorry, missed the first few minutes. Okay, so what I'm talking about, DNA sequencing in space. For the first time ever, DNA was successfully sequenced in microgravity as part of the biomolecule sequencer experiment performed by NASA astronaut Kate Rubins this weekend aboard the International Space Station. The ability to sequence the DNA of living organisms in space opens up a whole new world of scientific and medical possibilities. Scientists consider it a game changer. DNA, or deoxyribonucleic acid, contains instructions each cell in an organism on Earth needs to live. These instructions are represented by the letters A, G, C, and T, which stand for the four basic chemical bases of DNA: adenosine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. Both the number and arrangement of these bases differ among organisms, so their order or sequence can be used to identify a specific organism. The biomolecular sequencer investigation moved us closer to this ability to sequence DNA in space by demonstrating for the first time that DNA sequencing is possible in an orbiting spacecraft. Now, it doesn't say, well, if you sequence DNA, does that mean you can change the order of the instructions? So the cell, it's for a different cell, or the cell behaves differently? I'll read and I'll try to find that out. With a way to sequence DNA in space, astronauts could diagnose an illness or identify microbes growing in the International Space Station. So there's my answer. And determine whether or not they represent a health threat. A space-based DNA sequencer would be an important tool to help protect astronaut health during long-duration missions on the journey to Mars. And future explorers could also potentially use that technology to identify DNA-based life forms beyond Earth. The biomolecule sequencer investigation sent samples of mouse, virus, and bacteria DNA to the space station to test a commercially available DNA sequencing device called Minion, developed by Oxford Nanopore Technologies. The Minion works by sending a positive current through pores embedded in membranes inside the device called nanopores. At the same time, fluid containing a DNA sample passes through the device. Individual DNA molecules partially block the nanopores and change the current in a way that is unique to that particular DNA sequence. By looking at these changes, researchers can identify the specific DNA sequence. I guess I'd have to go over that a few times to fully understand it. But anyway, everybody gets the point. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to pause for a break. And when we come back, hopefully I am going to talk more about this DNA sequencing. So this is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
I seen you with your girl, walking, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shade, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the soup is stopping. Introduced like I'm shining, you my destiny. In your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to AstroTalk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up a disease. In my fight to burn, if my fight to burn, can that pay the curve? Girl, put your ass and the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in awe. Come here, rest your head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back. take it from the back, like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. Scream with the neighbors when they sleep. Grab the sheets, grit your teeth, wiggle your butt cheeks.
Welcome back. This is Marco on Astro Talk. So now I'm going to switch topics. I'm going to go to Cassini. What's Cassini? It's a NASA spacecraft orbiting in the Saturn system. It's been there for quite a few years. And next year it's going to dive into Saturn. And as I said before, it's going to crash land. But how do you crash land on a gas surface? So what happens, I think, as it races towards the supposed surface of Saturn, the spacecraft will break up in the atmosphere. It'll be burned up. So let's get back to the show. Cassini, it's dated November 3rd, which is, I believe, today. So it's on the NASA website, www.nasa.gov/feature/JPL, which stands for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, /measuring-day. So it's dated November 3rd, and the title of the article is Measuring the Day. Humans, I'll start reading the article now. Humans sometimes struggle to adjust to daylight saving time, but just measuring the exact length of a Saturn day is one of the big challenges for scientists on NASA's Cassini mission. Over more than a decade in Saturn orbit, Cassini's instruments have wrestled with confusing measurements to determine the planet's precise rotation rate. I thought they knew this, but it seems they don't. The mission's final year and unprecedented trajectory will carry Cassini to unexplored regions so near to Saturn that scientists might finally answer the question, just how long is a day on Saturn? Michelle Doherty used to say that measuring the length of a Saturn day was like searching for a needle in a haystack. Now she thinks the old cliché falls short. So says Michelle Doherty, and quote, it's more like searching for several needles that change color and shape unpredictably. Based at Imperial College London, Doherty is principal investigator for the magnetometer instrument, MAG, on board Cassini, studying the planet more closely than any spacecraft before. Yet Cassini's instruments can seem to nail down something fundamental about Saturn that for Earth is hard to miss, the length of a day. Part of the challenge stems from what a day truly is. When a person says it's been cloudy for days, they're conveying how long, that is, for how much time, the sky has been cloudy. But a day is really a description of motion, not time. The sun doesn't rise or set. Instead, the sun's apparent motion is the result of Earth spinning on its axis, and an observer need not be on Earth to figure out the length of an Earth day. Someone in space or another planet in our solar system could choose a distinct surface feature on Earth, such as Madagascar, then note its position and click a stopwatch. When Madagascar returns to the position it was when the stopwatch was started, the observer could note the lapse time. If they measure precisely enough, they would find that Earth rotates once per 23.934 hours, and an observer need not be on Earth to figure out the length of an Earth day. Someone in space or another planet in our solar system could choose a distinct surface on Earth, such as, that's a mistake, isn't it? Okay, using the same principle, Earthlings have learned the rotation rates of other planets. So we could pick, find Madagascar on Saturn and use that. Ha ha ha. A day on Mercury lasts about 2 Earth months, and a Mars day lasts 24.623 Earth hours, barely longer than Earth's. That's strange. I thought it would be different because I thought every planet would have a different day, length of day, but it doesn't. But watching surface features does not work equally well for all planets. When the bulk of a planet swims beneath thousands of miles of atmosphere, the challenge of clocking its rotation rate is even tougher. The swirling cloud bands on a gas planet like Saturn and Jupiter move at different rates, making it impossible to use the clouds to measure the planet's rotation rate. But even then, scientists have a couple of aces up their sleeve: the planet's magnetic field and radio wave emissions. That's interesting. They can use the magnetic field and the radio wave emissions from the planet. That's interesting. I was just reading or thinking the other day about an MRI. When the patient is given an MRI, I think they're injected in the spot that the MRI is going to take place in. Then a magnetic field is applied across the surface or inside the area that the MRI is going to be taken. So because we have ions in our body, electrons, protons, they are affected by the magnetic field. So when the magnetic field is applied, then another magnetic field is applied, and what happens is it will move or it will affect the damaged area. Then when that magnetic field is taken off, that second magnetic field, the damaged areas move back to their original position. When they do move back, they send off radio waves, and it is this change or this measurement of the radio waves that gives the picture of the damaged area. So I guess they can do that here. They can say somehow do something, measure the radio waves and determine something about the day. That's interesting. Wow. Okay, I'm going to get back to the... So the radio waves emissions and the planet's magnetic field on Saturn, that is, can be measured to determine the length of a day on the planet. Now back to the article. In a planet's interior, heat causes electrically conductive fluids to move, just like the MRI I was talking about. And these currents generate a magnetic field that can extend out into space many times the diameter of the planet. I'll repeat that sentence just so everybody understands, and I can understand. In a planet's interior, heat causes electrically conductive fluids to move, and these currents generate a magnetic field that can extend out into space many times the diameter of the planet. On Earth and Jupiter, the magnetic North Pole is tilted from each planet's rotation axis by about 10 degrees. Meaning that is not aligned with a true North Pole on either planet. If you could see Jupiter's or Earth's magnetic field from space and you sped up time, the magnetic field would appear to wobble like a hula hoop as the planet spins. Since the magnetic field is generated in a planet's deep interior, for most planets, the field rotation rate tells scientists the rotation rate of the planet itself. One full wobble equals one day. Now, isn't that interesting? They can see the wobble of the magnetic field and measure that, and they can say, oh, okay, that's how long a day is. We can't see magnetic field, but instruments called magnetometers can, and radio antennas can detect radio emissions from a planet with patterns that repeat each time the planet rotates. In fact, almost as soon as radio antennas were invented, scientists figured out that Jupiter has a 9-hour and 55-minute day. According to Bill Kurth, a University of Iowa physicist and leader of Cassini's Radio and Plasma Wave Science Team, that's RPWS, Radio and Plasma Wave Science Team. So says Professor Kurth, and quote, Jupiter is like a clock, it doesn't lose time, it doesn't gain time, he said. But Saturn is like no other planet orbiting our sun. Its magnetic field seems to be offset from its rotation axis by very much less than a degree. So Saturn's magnetic field doesn't hula, but instead appears to spin smoothly with no wobble. Scientists might then expect to observe a steady signal of magnetic strength and direction at Saturn, but they don't. The Cassini MAG instrument has detected a signal in Saturn's magnetic field, which looks like a wave in the data that repeats about every 10 hours and 47 minutes. Scientists call that regularly repeating signal a periodicity. But this periodicity has a different value whether you're observing Saturn's northern or southern hemisphere, and it also seems to change with the seasons. The RPWS instrument also has detected periodicities, and another of Cassini's instruments, the Magnetospheric Imaging Instrument, MIMI, MIMI, that's a nice one, MIMI, I have to remember that, has observed energetic charged particles, which are protons, electrons, and ions, being whipped around Saturn periodically by its magnetic field. So says Kurth, and quote, The MIMI instrument sees these blobs that move about the planet, but observation of the blobs, the radio emissions, and the magnetic field don't agree enough for scientists to feel they're sure about Saturn's rotation rate. Cassini scientists didn't think NASA's rotation rate was a puzzle they'd have to solve. So says Kurth again, we thought we already knew because Voyager measured it. Voyager data had suggested a Saturn day was about 10.7 hours, but Cassini's magnetometer measured it as a bit longer or a bit shorter, depending on whether the spacecraft is observing Saturn's northern or southern hemisphere. That's strange. So a day on Saturn isn't a day on Saturn. It can vary. So says Doherty, and quote, Saturn has stymied us. Its rotation rate is somewhere between 10.6 and 10.8 hours, probably. But the signal we're seeing, we're not sure it's linked to the interior at all. All we know is that in our MAG data, we see oscillations that are different in the north or the south, and they change over time. One possible cause is that something in Saturn's atmosphere is disrupting or canceling out the effects of the true planetary magnetic field, Doherty said. If that's the case, getting closer to Saturn might help. For the final phase of Cassini's mission, the spacecraft will perform 20 orbits just outside of Saturn's main ring starting in November 2016, followed by 22 orbits through the unexplored space between Saturn's upper atmosphere and its innermost ring starting in April 2017. There, Cassini should have a better shot at seeing Saturn's rotation rate more clearly and resolving the mystery of Saturn's day. By the end of May 2017, NASA should know whether they'll be able to solve it. For more information on Cassini's mission, see http://saturn.jpl.nasa.gov, and I'll go there right now. Okay, so this is a big web page from Cassini, mission to Mars. It's got a beautiful picture of Saturn. Now, there's one picture, view from above. Saturn appears as a serene globe amid tranquil rings in this view from NASA's Cassini spacecraft. In reality, the planet's atmosphere is an ever-changing scene of high-speed winds and evolving weather patterns, punctuated by occasional large storms. Imagine if we lived on Saturn, it would be more rough than Earth, believe me. So thank you. You listened to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. As I said before,